Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to WHM On Screen, everybody. I'm Andrew Jubin alongside Chelsea Jubin, which some of you may know. This little trivia fact, this little sweet nug, we're husband and wife.
Sweet nug is disgusting.
Sweet That's nug awful. Is? Why is it disgusting?
I find it disgusting.
All right. Well, it's still a sweet nug. All right, how about this? It's a juicy tidbit.
I guess that's better. Yeah, I'm the person who lives where you record, so I'm available for these kind of things.
Which I'm so excited. I cannot believe we're finally getting to talk about the fact that the new trailer for the David Gordon Green Halloween dropped today.
Yep, 100%. I've already watched it. I have thoughts. I know all of the words that you're talking about. Halloween is Michael Myers, right?
That's correct.
All right.
But no, we are actually talking about Ocean's 8.
Yes.
From the year of our Lord this year, 2018, directed by Gary Ross. And I got to tell you, Chris Cabin, a couple weeks ago, you know Chris Cabin.
I've met him.
A couple times.
He was a groomsman in my wedding. Yeah, I've met him. I met him before I met you.
That's actually a true fact. That's a story for another day.
Another time.
But Chris Cabin just threw out there, I was like, oh, Chris Cabin, this movie's directed by Gary Ross. What has he done? Chris Cabin flippantly tossed back, Seabiscuit. which was technically true, but Gary Ross, a little bit of a filmography here. Let me go through some of these, get your take on them. So, director, writer, and producer of 1998's Pleasantville.
I like that movie.
Right?
I don't know if it holds up. I liked it circa closer to 1998.
Yeah, I liked it in the late 90s.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't say that I've seen it since.
I know. Paul Walker's in it.
Oh, man, we all know about that.
I don't know if you do know, because I know you said we didn't have to worry about him.
We just told everybody on a recent recording to lay off that joke, because we get it.
Yeah.
No, so then get this.
So Pleasantville.
Pleasantville.
Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit, yes. But we back up a little bit to the...
Tobey Maguire, lots of... They must have been buddies. Sorry, continue.
Man, being friends with Tobey Maguire. Can you imagine being friends
with him? So is he in the Pussy Posse?
Oh, is Gary Ross? Oh, maybe Gary Ross is the godfather of the Pussy Posse. He's significantly older than all those people, specifically because in 1998, he was a co-producer and writer, did not direct, Big. The Tom Hanks
film. Not 1998. Did you say 1998?
I meant 88. I don't know why I said it. Whatever I said, but 1988.
Yeah.
Big.
Okay, that's...
Unfortunately, in 1997, producer on the horrendous Michael Richards and I believe Jeff Daniels movie, Trial and Error.
Never heard of it.
They're like wacky lawyers or something, or like Michael Richards is a wacky lawyer.
Okay.
And Jeff Daniels is just taking it.
Okay.
And then, so Tale of Despero, the little mouse
movie.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Michael J. Fox is the voice?
No, that's Stuart Little, of course.
Oh, okay.
Despero was...
they're both mice.
I believe Despero, not voiced by, but Emma Watson was maybe in the movie. I think it's a full-on CGI movie.
I have no idea.
He's like swashbuckling or some shit. I don't know. He wrote, and maybe that's just it? Yeah, he wrote the 1994 Lassie reboot.
I didn't know that happened.
Oh, what? You missed the Lassie reboot?
I was busy. I was 10.
Yeah, nobody's really in it either. Okay. There's a couple other credits here, I think. Wrote Mr. Baseball.
I don't know that.
That's the, it's Tom Selleck, and he's like a hot baseball player.
Sure, yeah.
And then he gets, something happens, and he has to go play baseball in Japan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of cultural misunderstandings. And then in 2016, he had that movie, he wrote and directed, I believe, the Matthew McConaughey slavery-centric action movie, Free State of Jones.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Oh, and did I mention that in 2012 he wrote and directed Hunger Games?
Oh, yeah. Wow. That was the good one.
Yeah, I buried the lead on that.
Okay, yeah. That one was quite good.
That was the good Hunger Games
that
movie.
That was the good Hunger Games movie. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, a couple of creds for this guy, other than just Seabiscuit, Chris Cabin.
I don't know why he led with Seabiscuit. I feel like, if anything, lead with... Why did you not lead with Hunger Games either? Why is no one leading with Hunger Games?
Well, I was saving the best for last. I don't know what Chris Cabin's excuse is. I think, if anything, he's mostly scarred from a multiplex story about when Seabiscuit was in wide release.
That'll stay tuned, I guess. Maybe.
Nah, dude shit his pants in the theater. We just put a garbage bag over it.
Okay.
So Ocean's 8, the
Ocean's
reason why
Eight.
You're
oh, okay.
here. Expanding the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Of the Ocean's movies, I guess. So,
the Ocean's trilogy, now quadrilogy.
Now a
possibly
quadrilogy.
Quintology?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. Also, the OC...
I also don't know if that's a word, is part of the question mark in my voice.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. The real $10 word, if it is. No, also the OCU. The Ocean Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
Which I think we could just call it.
The OCU.
The OCU. Right. It's now a universe.
It is. Is there OCU, MCU, Don Cheadle? That's overlap.
Oh, that is some overlap.
Yeah.
Was Elliot Gould in any of those movies? I don't think so.
Matt Damon is in Ragnarok for like a second.
Oh, that's right.
And
good call.
And was apparently supposed to have been in Ocean's 8 to bring it back to this movie.
Oh, right. You said there was some scenes deleted.
Apparently. Yeah. He is not in this movie, but IMDb has all sorts of trivia about him as if he's in it. And it's like, oh, he previously was in blah, blah, blah with blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and that's it. Because he wasn't in Ocean's 8. I guess he got cut.
Oh, man. So yeah. Save that for the collector's edition 4K UHD.
Or maybe they'll kick off 9 with him. I don't know what they cut.
I don't know
what it could have been.
Well, so let me ask you this.
Yes.
And you've heard me do this on the show quite a bit. And I'll leave you the honor, quote unquote, the honor. In a nutshell, what is this movie about?
This movie is Danny Ocean, so George Clooney's sister.
Right.
Debbie Ocean.
Yes. I have the cast list pulled up. She is indeed Debbie Ocean.
Good. Mine had gone dark on my phone, so I was guessing.
She's the right kind of Debbie, which is the D-E-B-B-I-E.
I mean, sure, but I wondered, and I didn't do the research on this, but Debbie feels like an older name. I feel like a Sandra Bullock age woman would not be named Debbie. Like, that's like someone our age being named, like, Patricia.
Cut to a bunch of Patricia's tweeting.
I know. Sorry, Patricia's born in 1984. I know you're out there, but it's not the same. You've heard it your whole life, I'm sure. It's fine. Anyway, but I was like, is Debbie anachronistic for Sandra Bullock? Are they just making it match Danny?
Well, what else could they, like,
Denise?
Denise. Yeah. Diane Ocean.
Yeah, that's better.
That would have been a nice one.
Anyway, that's a thing I thought of. So Debbie Ocean, I was supposed to be describing the plot and I have already failed and am already bad at this. So Debbie Ocean is paroled and decides that she is also going to start her own heist group similar to what her brother has done.
Right.
In her case, what she is doing is robbing the Met Gala, not the Met itself, but the Met Gala.
Now, for those out there, because I know there's a ton in listener land who, like me, only sort of like on the sidelines pay attention to that. I know it's like a big hot ticket invite in NYC, as the tourists say.
Right.
So what's the Met Gala's deal?
The Met Gala is the event that they do to open their Costume Institute's big spring summer exhibition. And that was what was one thing that was really interesting about this is the parallels to how similar they are. I'm going to get it wrong. But so in the movie, it was like the British royal or royal jewels was what it was.
Oh, the,
but the
iconography exhibit, yeah.
on the poster for the exhibit was very like religious looking. And the current costume exhibit is religion costume. Costume work. I don't know the terminology. And the chair, which is the Anne Hathaway. This is probably not interesting to anyone, but whatever. The chair of the actual Met Gala this year, which Anne Hathaway plays, was Rihanna.
Oh,
who
right.
Was in the movie.
She was wearing like the Pope hat and whatnot.
Yeah. So it feels very weirdly like a weird promotional item for the Costume Institute and the Met. It's an interesting promotional crossover.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I can see a lot of... First of all, I think we should say...
Sure.
We both like this movie.
We did both like it.
I had... This is what I would call a fun time at the movies.
Yes.
I had no real expectations for it because I didn't really know what to expect.
Sure.
I don't think I'd seen a full-length trailer.
I had very high expectations of this. I loved... I'm saying I love the original trilogy. I remember feeling lukewarm about 12, but did end up really liking 13, but I've never gone back and revisited either sequel.
We saw 13 in the theaters together.
Yeah. Yep. But 12 was before we were dating, right?
Yeah. Cause 12 was like 2004.
Right. So,
I wasn't even a blip on your radar.
I hadn't met you, but I had met Chris Cabin. So I was so excited. I love the entire cast. I love the idea of an all-female remake of it. I thought it was going to be great. So my expectations were admittedly perhaps the tiniest bit high. And there were moments where I was like, this isn't quite as amazing as I wanted it to be.
Right.
But if I had gone in with normal person expectations, I probably would have felt a little better. But I still did really, really like it.
So let me ask you this, a little bit of like a heavy issue thing here.
Okay.
But so what you just mentioned, though, the all-female remake.
Sure.
So one thing I've been seeing around the internet is like, oh, you're just taking ideas with dudes and putting women in this gender swap horseshit. So what is your like take on that?
I mean, my first take is fuck off, who cares? Like my second is, and I was thinking about this a lot during the movie, this is something that makes so much sense to have women do it because, and they mention this, that women are so methodical and do think steps through in a way that you really need to do for these kind of heists. And they have the added advantage, and again, this is something they point out in the movie, so I'm not claiming it as my own idea, that women can be so invisible in a lot of these situations.
Yeah.
You know, how many times are they just walking by people and they're not even paying them any notice, especially the women of color in the movie, and that plays to the advantage of it. So if anything, during the movie, I was almost thinking it's weird that they did this three times with very handsome white men and got away with it.
Right.
When it should be women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and then also like, you know. In Ocean's 12, Bernie Mac just gets thrown in jail for the whole movie. So.
Again, I haven't revisited that one. I listened to the episode. The three of you and Scarlett did a great job, but I was like, wow, I don't remember this movie very much at all.
So this is what you'd call a deep cast, though, because we got Sandy.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Which, by the way, gang, we're tooling around an idea. It's called Hey Sandy. It's a podcast where Chelsea and I talk about Sandra Bullock movies.
Oh, my God. My dream come true.
One of your all-time favorite movies. Is
While You Were Sleeping.
Yeah.
The perfect romantic comedy that doesn't get enough credit. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say also, not for nothing, because I've seen that movie a couple times, perfect hangover movie.
Sure. It's a perfect Christmas time hangover movie.
Oh, yeah. You're hungover at Christmas.
You can't be hungover off of, like, sangria in July and watch While You Were Sleeping. But, like... A boozy eggnog hangover in December.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Oh, man, hangovers for the holidays.
Pitch that to Lifetime.
So you got Sandy Bullock. You got Kate Blanchett, who's kind of like, she's playing a character named Lou. She's sort of like Debbie's partner, sort of like the Brad Pitt surrogate here, kind of.
And I've seen other people talk about this on Twitter. I do like that they possibly hint that there's been some romance between them.
Is that right? Did I miss that?
You didn't think so? I thought so. And I'd seen other people say that they got the feeling from that.
I'm sorry.
Sandra Bullock and Kate Blanchett, correct?
Yes. That, yes.
Not Kate Blanchett and Brad Pitt. That
is Benjamin. Yeah, I was like, was somebody mention Rusty?
No. Benjamin Button, though. You can get a lot of hot Kate Blanchett and Brad Pitt, and then a lot of really boring Brad Pitt.
Yeah, man. I love David Fincher. That movie's a snooze and
a half.
There's
a great 10 minutes in the middle of it, though, and that's it.
Where they're both the same age.
God, so yeah, hot.
It's great. Yeah. And then the rest of that movie, I'm sleeping hard.
Yep.
You have television's Mindy Kaling.
Yes.
Playing Amita. She's like the diamond expert. She works at a jewelry store with her family in like Forest Hills or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't. Queens, presumably.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Didn't grab
the
neighborhood.
Grabbed the locale. It is all really good filmed in New York.
It is.
Excellent.
That's something. Thought of that like immediately at the start of the movie, because the movie starts with like the scene you see in the trailer where it's her parole hearing
with Griffin Dunne,
totally unseen unless I was looking down at the popcorn or something and I missed him. It's just his voice, like, show me that man.
We saw it in the credits. Yeah,
that's horseshit.
Yeah, another person who got cut. Men, who cares? Matt Damon, Griffin Dunne, you're out of there.
But so yeah, so Mindy can't. I was gonna say, oh yeah. So yes. Right after that, it's like establishing shot of Manhattan, and I was like, yeah, a fucking New York heist movie, you bet your ass, man.
It's very New York. It's very New York centric. We'll try to not make this episode too New York.
Yeah, no,
I know people hate that.
Yeah, I don't want to rattle Reddit when it comes to talking about New York City, heaven the fuck forbid. So Mindy Kaling, yeah, she's like the diamond expert, right, or jewelry expert.
Yeah.
I think she's good in this movie. I would
think
say
she's
I think the least used in the movie, though.
It's tough. It's such a big cast. There are times whenever they would cut back to somewhere where I'd be like, I miss that person. So I don't know if I know who I feel like is the least used. I know that in our screening, her, I guess, spoilers, if you haven't seen
it. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, total spoilers. We're just going to talk the fuck out of this movie.
So her scene in the bathroom when she's unveiling her lab got riotous applause.
Probably,
in our screening.
Yeah, the largest. Yeah.
Which I guess is more for the set than for her, but it's still, I love Mindy Kaling, so it made me happy that
but
she
was like,
getting so much applause.
Yeah, well, because it was, I don't think it was just the set. It was like,
no,
thing. Here's this character going to work. It's a very funny, she pulls down like a baby changing station
and
whatever else. And there's like all these jewelry things. I think though, the reason she does have the least amount of screen time is she's involved in the like secret twist at the end of the movie.
Sure. Okay.
Right. Because the end of the movie, again, spoilers, everybody. When it's revealed, like, not only did they steal this one necklace, but they actually lifted all of the jewelry
exhibit
from the exhibit and duped it. So like Mindy Kaling is kind of just in that bathroom or whatever the fuck, like,
for a really long time.
Like duping all this jewelry.
Yeah.
But she was great. Fucking again, TV's Sarah Paulson put this woman in
so
more movies.
So amazing in
she's
everything
great
ever.
She's
yeah
playing Tammy.
She was great in The Post. She's done good movie work.
Oh, who's she in The
she's
Post?
Tom Hanks' wife.
That's right.
And she gets some good scenes in that.
She does. You're totally
right.
I
mean, as much as anyone gets in The Post, who isn't Meryl Streep?
Or Tom Hanks.
Or Tom Hanks. Yeah.
Or Bob Odenkirk.
Even talk about another thing where the cast is too big that you kind of forget who all is in it. Mm-hmm. A million times so more so with The Post than Ocean's 8.
I think it just lends itself to the fact that I think The Post is kind of ultimately a forgettable movie. That when you said Sarah Paulson was Tom Hanks' wife, I was like, oh, yeah, I do sort of remember that. She's got much more screen time here playing Tammy, who's another of these like out of the game, you know, has settled. She's kind of like, she's sort of like an Ocean's, like the beginning of Ocean's 12 kind of character.
If I get that they didn't want to make it too much connected to the original, the OCU, as you're dubbing it.
Right.
but the fact that she lives in the suburbs, it was interesting that there was no mention of where's Julia Roberts.
Oh, right.
I mean, again, fine, you don't need it. But it was still just like, are they buddies? What's going on?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I love Julia Roberts, too, though. So I would have been okay with her being back in a cameo.
I mean, also, like, if you haven't seen the trailer or whatever, like, this movie posits that Danny Ocean has passed away.
Right.
So, but yeah, there's lots no, of like...
maybe not. So,
right.
He never ends up showing up, but he could in 9 or 10.
Sure. But yeah, so she's like living in the suburbs, has kind of left that life behind.
Right. And except she's... not really, because her garage is filled with stolen items.
So what is that? She's like knocking off like supply trucks and putting, it's kind of a weird line. And I want to see, here's the thing. I need to see this husband, because I feel like the husband has to be played by Zach Galifianakis, because the whole gag is like her garage is covered with hot merchandise. Yeah. And Sandy's like, how do you explain this to your husband? And she goes, eBay.
Yeah.
You need a Zach Galifianakis-esque person to be like, oh yeah, my wife just gets all the deals on that eBay. She's just so great at the computer.
Or he's just some clueless Greenwich husband who's cheating on Sarah Paulson the whole time, and so he doesn't notice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know who'd play a good, that kind of scumbag character? And I'm sure he's a totally nice guy, but he'd pull it off. The dude... he's on SVU. He's married to Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, okay. From Younger. Yeah.
Yeah, with whatever that dude's
name
is.
We always just call him Mr. Hargitay. I don't know his real name.
You're goddamn right he's Mr. Hargitay. Shit.
Yeah.
So we're just going through this cast, which
yes,
I feel like...
it's still... we're only a tiny bit of the way through. It's a great cast.
Yeah, I mean, and these kind of movies, like, it's... they live and die by the cast, basically.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, the story is the story. They heist the Met Gala. They're successful. It's totally fine.
Right.
Totally surprising, and I can't tell you the last time I was entertained by her in a movie, because honestly, I don't like that fucking Harry Potter character. Helena Bonham Carter in this movie, totally awesome.
Yeah, most of what I feel like I associate her with are Tim Burton movies, which I don't enjoy.
Yeah,
I'm sure she's been in other things. Yeah, I don't dislike her as Bellatrix, but obviously that's such a villain that I just hate it. But yeah,
Bellatrix Lestrange.
Correct.
From the Harry Potter movies.
Except I don't know if the pronunciation was, but otherwise.
isn't like Lestrange or something? but she's good in this movie.
She's so good in this. I think doing a relatively okay Irish accent.
Yeah, I'm not going to weigh in on that. I've heard too much shit on the internet over the years.
Fair.
I'll just say that it wasn't like a...
it's not Lucky Charms.
No,
yeah.
It's not. It's like, it's a very subtle, it's totally fine.
To a non-Irish person, it reminded me of an Irish person I used to work with, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go.
And presumably that woman wasn't faking the phone.
No, if she was, then that's very weird.
No, she's great in this. And she's kind of an interesting character in this whole scheme, because she's not like a career criminal.
No, yeah. And they do talk her into it pretty quickly, but it made sense.
But it was an interesting twist. They were like, okay, we need to find somebody that's going to dress the person that's going to wear this necklace for the gala.
Right.
We have to find a down and out, like shit out of luck fashion designer.
Right.
To do this, and they find that she's got like all this money problems.
Tons,
she's gonna go to
jail
for like tax evasion or whatever.
She's lost a passport to Ireland, I guess. I don't know. They say we'll get your passport back.
Oh, right. Yeah, her passport was confiscated.
Right.
So that was an interesting, like, oh, here isn't someone who they found at like Yonkers Raceway and Casino or something. It's like someone who they like convinced to come on board.
Right. And it seemed to me a good balance, because so many of the other fashion designers who you see throughout the movie are real fashion designers. It seemed like a good balance of bringing in the fictional character without it seeming like Will Ferrell and Zoolander, you know?
Oh man, if Mugatu
showed up. Had been doing the Met Gala, exactly. That would have been a slightly different movie.
How was that not the plot of Zoolander 2?
The millions of plots that should have been the plot to Zoolander 2 that weren't the plot of Zoolander 2.
I wish there was a commentary of the two of us watching that movie, because we were what people would call flabbergasted or dumbfounded.
That's another early 2000s movie that I really enjoy, and I was so excited, and I was so disappointed.
That movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How are they not working with Mugatu?
Why is he still the villain? Kristen Wiig should be the villain. I know that's not what we're talking about, but
No, you're totally right.
I'm so upset.
So the person that Helena is hired to dress is, of course, Daphne Kluger is the character's name, played by Anne Hathaway.
And who is fantastic. Yes. Honestly, probably one of the better performances in the movie, I think. And considering how many fellow Oscar winners she has in the movie, like, that's really saying something. But I think she walks away the best, personally.
She totally does. And an acting, not choice, but like a gift that she has, and we've mentioned on the show before, that she has to put to use in this movie, is being able to turn on a dime.
Yes.
Because the whole, like, Ocean's 8 thing, you're sitting there, and it's like, oh, well, there's only 7 of them.
Right.
They wind up making Anne Hathaway,
the
who's
8th.
Like, yeah, she's the 8th. She's like, for the majority of the movie, she's the mark.
Like the third act, yeah.
As you come to find out she's in on it.
Right.
And it's great because you see her doing that, like, she's playing the posh socialite, like, right. ha.
And then, very much feeding into the sort of public perception of Anne Hathaway as being the really sort of stuck up, too serious, too focused on herself actress. Doing a really good job of leaning into that and playing with it.
Yeah, I've never understood why that woman has had to eat so many shit sandwiches.
Yeah, I was not the biggest fan of the Anne Hathaway persona for a little bit, and I do feel badly about that now because I kept being like, "Well, but I love all her movies, but I love all her movies," and it was like, "Well, that's what matters. Like, it's the people who are being the cool girl actresses in the interviews that." I mean, I won't throw out names because that's not fair then. But that sort of thing of like the, oh, gee, I don't even care about this. I just wish I was back at home eating pizza. That's what's fake. It's not Anne Hathaway being like, I'm a serious actress and I care about this. That's real. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That was a soapbox moment. But
totally fine. This entire show has been soapbox moments for almost 10 years. So it's fine.
Okay.
No, I think she's totally great in this movie. I don't get... do they explain like what her job is?
I mean, no, I guess not, but I guess actress, I don't know. I think because she's leaning so much into the perception of Anne Hathaway that it's sort of similar Oscar winner.
Yeah. It's kind of great because for a hot sec in this movie, her like foil in her world is a almost unrecognizable Dakota Fanning.
I did not recognize her and had to ask you who it was. She's all grown up. I haven't been watching that, the Alienist that she's supposed to be really good on.
I did not see that. I saw her in the Ewan McGregor Philip Roth adaptation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I probably have not seen her since she was a child. She was probably younger than Elle Fanning is now, the last performance I saw Dakota Fanning in.
Yeah, and it's that movie, the Philip Roth adaptation, the name of which escapes me. I can't remember what it is.
It wasn't Plot Against America?
It's not. No, it's not Plot Against America. I can't remember which one it was. It was fine.
Okay.
You know, totally forgettable. But she's kind of like taking risks in that movie.
Okay.
And the whole time I was like, you're no Elle Fanning.
Yeah.
Sorry to tell you. I think the little sister is better. But she's just kind of there for like 2 seconds. And I sort of thought, all right, well, you're hiring Dakota Fanning to do something. But it's really like one scene.
Yeah.
They use her
one
as...
one scene and then a taxi ad.
Oh, right. Yeah. The one in 1.1 scenes.
1.08. Yeah.
Yeah, what does it count as scene-wise if you're just a scene in an advertisement? There's another famous picture coming up later in the movie we can mention in a sec. But I thought it was going to be like she would play more into the movie a little bit, but she's just kind of like one and done.
Yeah.
They use her as leverage. Like, oh, Helena Bonham Carter is maybe going to be hired by this woman to dress her for the gala. And that makes like Anne Hathaway... jealous and hires her and whatever. So I'll tell you this. One of the total walking away with this movie performances, Rihanna.
Yeah.
As Nine Ball.
Excellent. She's really great. She's come a long way since Battleship.
You fucking took the joke right out of my mouth.
Oh, no.
Well, we both saw Battleship at the theater. Same screening.
Yeah. Well, of course. Why are we going separately?
Oh, man, imagine. Well, no. For me, seeing Battleship by myself would be totally fine. You seeing Battleship by yourself would be like, what were you doing there?
I love Peter Berg and Taylor. Well, I sort of love Peter Berg. I definitely love Taylor Kitsch.
You love Taylor Kitsch. You like Peter Berg because he was helping out with Friday Night Lights.
Right, yes. His movies, question mark. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You remember when we saw Battleship?
Yes, and that guy was literally on the edge of his seat.
Oh, man.
I'm not misusing literally in the slightest.
It was awesome. There was a dude alone watching Battleship on the edge of his seat.
He was so into it.
It was one of those moments where I was like completely jealous of a total stranger because I was like, that guy is really loving this.
I guess.
And I'm miserable. I'm eating shit for 2 hours.
Yeah.
What's that guy seeing in this movie?
I don't know.
And it was a weird, like, he did have like a Navy veteran's hat on. So I was like, are you like reliving days on the sea? But you didn't fight aliens.
Yeah. I mean, were they I don't even remember. I tried to forget that.
I think, they're definitely aliens. And then somehow they're also playing the game of Battleship.
Right.
But Rihanna.
Yes, is great in this and not in Battleship.
She's playing a character called Nine Balls. She's like the hacker tech expert. Sporting amazing, awesome, super long dreads.
Right.
Just totally great character. Really fucking funny. She's got a moment where there's like a little sister character that comes in who's also like a grifter.
Really funny, yeah.
And they have some funny moments. I mean, it's possible that she's done movies outside of this
I'm
Battleship.
Sure. Yeah.
I can't say as I'm, you know, entirely familiar with her music output. I guess, according to the Tribune, she was in that Valerian in the City of a Thousand Farts or whatever that movie was.
I bet that's not the name.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah,
and it says that she was a performer in Bridget Jones' Baby. We saw that one time when we were in L.A. I don't remember that.
On vacation. yeah, I mean, she focuses more on her music career, though. But it turns out she can really act and is really funny.
She totally can. Yeah. And also, this was another in-theater moment that was great. So, like, at the end of the movie, They basically have Mindy Kaling like break apart this huge Cartier necklace and repurpose it into like other different kinds of jewelry.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
They all like carry it out.
Yeah.
And so part of that is like Rihanna, who does unfortunately spend a hefty amount of time in like a security van.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
observing
the hacker role, like you're behind a computer screen.
Yeah, she's looking at all the security cameras and whatnot. But like, she has to get in on the action for this final. Like, we're taking all these jewels out, and this was an in theater moment. You see Rihanna walking down the main stairs of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and she's wearing like this huge, poppingly loud red dress, and the theater was like, you included. I heard
it was a beautiful dress. She looked incredible.
It was awesome.
Like the scene of them all once they get dressed up is really the costuming work for the Met Gala is incredible. It's so good. It's
totally
Mindy Kaling's dress is so beautiful. It's like this gold thing with it. It looked like it had a cape or something. Oh, they were all such good dresses.
Man, I wish I could get away with wearing a cape.
You could not.
And then rounding out the cast here is this woman who I'd never seen in anything.
Right.
Awkwafina.
Right, a rapper who...
Is she a rapper?
Yeah, I'm too old to really know very much about her, but I know of her.
She was fucking hilarious.
She's so funny. Yeah. She has a really funny role in it.
Yes.
Yes.
They did have the preview smartly attached to this of Crazy Rich Asians that she's also in.
It
which
was
looks
very
great.
Great preview to movie selection. Almost everything that was on it, I was like, I want to see this. Even the Jennifer Garner Stars in Taken thing, I was very excited for that
movie. Dude, just Jennifer Garner murdering dudes. I'm all about
I'm 100%
that fucking
movie. In, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm ready. I'm excited.
It was like from the director of Taken, and I was like, wait, what is this movie? And then it turned out that trailer was awesome, and I have to pull up the name of it because I don't want to just say
it was Peppermint.
Yes, bad title.
Bad name. Yeah.
Peppermint.
But it looks...
It looks fucking great.
Jennifer Garner is another actress I'm always pulling for, so...
Totally. Also, I will say... That Awkwafina was apparently also in that movie Storks.
That was animated, right? So she's a voice.
Doing a voice, yes.
Okay.
She voiced Quail.
Okay.
And then also we did not get on board for this sequel. We did see the original and it was funny enough. Apparently she's in Neighbors 2:
Sorority
Rising.
Okay.
Oh, and I guess, oh man. So we may have liked Neighbors 1, but we turned off the first of what she's starring voice acting in the sequel to, Angry Birds Movie 2.
Oh my God. They're making another one of those?
Yep. Yep. At least according to the Tribune.
Are you going
to
do an episode on Angry Birds?
If I can get through it, we turned it off after like 35 minutes.
You did the emoji movie. I feel like nothing. There are no rules.
That's actually true. Yeah. No, but Awkwafina playing Constance.
That's great.
Very funny character. She's like the pickpocket. She's like the Matt Damon role.
Yeah, but a million times better.
You know why? Because she's not a fucking infantilized baby person.
Exactly, because she's confident and she's funny and yep. not the like, oh, gee, I don't know.
Oh, boy, I'm shitting my pants this whole trilogy.
There's like in Ocean's 11 specifically where he keeps fucking things up because he won't do the things that he's supposed to. Like he's supposed to wait in the car with Casey Affleck and Scott Caan and he won't do it.
I'd get out of that car too sweet.
Well,
are you kidding
fair,
me?
But he screws everything up. I don't remember what he screws up, but yeah, I just had on that movie like for 20 minutes the other day. The first one
yeah, was that 20 minutes holding up?
Yeah, I still really like the first one and have fond memories of 13, but I haven't revisited 13.
No, according to Chris Cabin, it still holds up.
Yeah, though. I can't contribute.
So I think the thing that people might be curious about, and there's not a ton of it, and I think that's the move, man. Not a lot of crossover into this other parts of the OCU.
No, you've apparently there was at one point Matt Damon, but otherwise you have Elliot Gould in a really blink and you miss it kind of. He comes to Danny Ocean's sort of funeral-ish something.
The possibly fake mausoleum, right. I think, is the idea.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, Sandy, you can't do this heist. Right. Whatever you're thinking about doing,
right.
don't do it. Well, right. bye.
Yeah, basically.
Which I think that's what Chris Cabin, speaking of Chris Cabin.
Right, said was Carl Reiner on the 12 episode with you guys. But
And the whole movie, by the way, thanks for nothing, Chris. I'm waiting for fucking Carl Reiner to pop out.
I know. They were
you idiot.
Be expensive to insure.
You were saying Carl Reiner's expensive to insure.
He's 135 years old, I believe. We just saw Rob Reiner in MSNBC this morning, and he's looking old.
Yeah, dude, when Meathead's looking old, fucking Meathead Senior. Mm. Here's the thing that kind of fucking frightened me a little bit, though. Elliot Gould not looking that great.
I don't know how old he is, but yeah.
Yeah.
But who knows how much it was for the character. I mean, that guy was always sort of a...
Yeah.
A look in and of itself.
That's true. Now I'm curious, though. I can't believe we didn't see Griffin Dunn's fucking face.
Yeah.
What is that about?
I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, he's got all his paperwork in order.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Elliot Gould, how about this? On August 29th of this year, he will be 80 years old.
Happy birthday.
Right? Almost. He was born in 1938.
This summer. Yeah.
So he'll be 80 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess also because recently you had on the String of Friends episodes where Ross famously fucking eats shit in England, that idiot.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of like mid-90s Elliot Gould there. So I guess maybe I was like...
Yeah, those are like season 5, so we're looking at like 1999. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, so, maybe it's just I was looking at 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. Elliot Gould
we
most
all
recently
quite different 20 years ago.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Even our ageless Adonis Chris Cabin. So Elliot Gould is in the movie.
Yes.
And then also a little bit of a sweet little cam at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
You got Xiaobo Qin reprising his role. He's the Chinese gymnast Yen in all these movies.
And it totally holds up. It's great. It still has this, it pulls the same punch as it did in the original trilogy. And as a nice New York moment, sorry, non-New Yorkers, you can press the forward 15 button. I like that she goes and finds him at the Chelsea Piers acrobat classes.
Yes.
It was a neat New York touch.
Which again, it's like a dude who... is a millionaire.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just teaching acrobat classes down at the pier.
It's in his heart.
Yeah, I guess you can't shake being an acrobat, a high flyer.
Yeah.
Yen is in the movie for like 2 seconds. He helps them out with
but a great 2 seconds. Like Elliot Gould, you could cut. Matt Damon, you apparently very
you
easily
cut that
could
right
cut,
out.
But I think his works best.
And then a really nice It's a literally on paper cameo. But it's an odd placement. You're seeing like Sandra Bullock's bathroom.
Right.
And there's a framed photograph of George Clooney, which is clearly just like Clooney in the wild, like some photo of him smiling that fucking handsome smile.
I had been reading an In Style with Sandra Bullock on the cover and thought I read that he was a producer on it, but I didn't see him in the credits when we were looking at it.
Right.
So I don't know if that's what the deal is there, if it's just sort of in name only, if he's like attached to it from being in the original trilogy. But he, I believe, did have some involvement in it, but was very clear in saying, at least what the article that I read said, was that no, this isn't my movie again, this is yours, I'm not getting involved.
And that's the move.
Right.
I feel like a lesser film and a lesser like situation of people would be like, oh my God, we're so fucked, we need help, who can we call? And then it's like, bum, bum, ba-da, ba, right. bum, ba, ba, da, ba. And then like multiple of them walk in, like Clooney included.
Right. I really enjoyed the 2016 Ghostbusters. Sorry, internet, please don't come at me. Please no death threats. I really liked that.
Internet,
but
go
I
fuck
do,
yourself. I liked
I
it
do
too.
Think that you didn't need all of those cameos. I think those could have been cut. I think Sigourney Weaver's was great. That's kind of the only one I would keep.
It's also just weird in that movie that none of them are playing the characters, as far as I remembered.
Except Sigourney
Bill Murray's definitely
Weaver,
not.
I believe.
Is she playing Dana Barrett in that movie?
I think so.
I don't remember. I mean,
I don't remember. It was 2 years ago.
I like that
and
movie.
And why isn't
enough.
That movie streaming anywhere? There have been so many times where I go to look for it and it's not on streaming anywhere. Come on, Netflix.
Netflix, I know you're listening.
Please.
I liked that movie enough. I thought the third act with like, oh, we're fighting a big thing again, was kind of dumb. I'm talking about Ghostbusters.
Right,
not Ocean's 8.
Right, there was no big fight thing in the third act of Ocean's 8.
They don't fight some giant monster.
I don't know. I love the third act of Ocean's 8, or of Ghostbusters, rather, excuse me. But I won't get into how Kate McKinnon made me cry doing all the fight stuff. We're not talking about that. That's fine. Although I guess I am. We Hate Movies featured. They made a blockbuster for women in the summer. Person to come in and talk about these things, with,
right?
So
you did appear.
I did Wonder Woman
on our Wonder Woman episode.
If there's a 2019 women blockbuster, I still live where you record, so I guess I'll be available. I don't know.
I gotta tell you, it's nice just having you in the studio.
And the dog gets to hang out here. Normally, she gets kicked out. She's sleeping on the floor.
It's better doing this with your family than a bunch of fucking pigs that come in. I'll tell you.
Those pigs are great.
Those pigs are great. Those pigs are something. Let's talk about the third act, though, because we sort of both had beef with this. So, like, the heist goes down.
Right.
It's successful.
Right.
They get away.
Right.
They're millionaires.
Right.
And then farting his way into this movie. And I will say farting his way, because he farts right in.
Yeah.
James Corden.
I felt the same way about James Corden in this that I do about any of the James Corden bits that I end up seeing online, because I don't watch his show, but every now and then, like, stuff will get shared on Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, you can't dodge him on the internet.
Where I'm always like, I like this, and I think it's funny, but I would like it more without James Corden in it.
That's
how I felt. Like, he was funny and I laughed at it, but I would also prefer it not be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And can I just say, it's amazing the parallels that are happening right now, because this is what happens in this movie. The third act of this movie happens and James Corden comes in and you're like, oh, like Chelsea
James
said,
Corden,
it would be better if it wasn't James Corden. And I will say, we just noticed before we went on the air, our good buddy from across the pond, John Rain, host of Smirsh Pod. Listen to that, you guys. All you Bondophiles out there. And just fans of comedy. Good comedy. Smirsh Pod. He retweeted a video of, I guess, a bunch of people were on tour. Some, like, pay $1 billion to go on this, like, Beatles auto tour. And they were driving by Paul McCartney's, like, childhood home. Motherfucker was there. And, like, all of a sudden Paul McCartney comes out. And I'm like, what an amazing moment for these people.
Yeah.
And then, like, like, right behind him is James Corden.
Yeah.
It was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Stop infiltrating the third act of things that are good.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Why was he there? Was he making that legend sing in a van?
Were they doing a carpool karaoke? Was it confusing? Because then he has to be on the other side.
Yeah. Maybe they flipped the frame for the fucking video. No, I just couldn't believe it. There he is again. I know. Just he's laughing.
He's kind of everywhere. And it's just, he's everywhere. And he's always kind of fine, but it would always be better without him there.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he's in this movie as like a fucking insurance claims adjuster. Yeah, yeah. So he's like investigating what went down because they realize immediately when the necklace gets taken back to Cartier. Right. It's kind of a really fun moment.
That how they pull it off is they've 3D printed it in cubic zirconia.
Yes, which is pretty cool.
Zirconia, if there's a difference. I don't know.
They just keep saying zirconia. Yeah. It's fine by me. I'll allow it. And so the dude like looking through his little eyepiece and like realizing it's fake, fucking great.
Very funny.
A lot of great comedy in this movie, but this dude who's like in two scenes, both taking place in a vault.
Yeah.
Very funny reaction to realizing it's zirconia.
I guess since we're talking about the men who are in this movie, we can also mention Richard Armitage, who I didn't otherwise know because I didn't see any of the Hobbit movies. But
I was going to say, who's that dude?
He's the foil, kind of the Julia Roberts character, but not as big of a part.
Playing Claude Becker in this movie.
Yeah. So he's in it. If you liked him in the Hobbit movies,
he's Thorin.
I
got IMDb up
no
here.
No idea. I just looked him up because watching the movie the whole time, I was like, who is this guy? Apparently, it was supposed to be Damian Lewis from.
Homeland?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a better choice.
But I feel like, if anything, the role is so nothing that
right.
you'd be wasting Damian Lewis.
Also, I guess he was in Hannibal playing Francis Dolarhyde, which I don't know that I watched enough of Hannibal to make it to that character.
I've never seen any of it.
No, it was season 13.
13 of
it? I'm sorry. I was looking at, he was in a third season, episode 13.
Oh my God.
No, that show had three seasons.
I was like, why are people complaining about it getting canceled too early if it got 13 seasons? That's more than Friends.
No, he was in the third and final season, supposedly, of Hannibal, playing Francis Dolarhyde, as they, I guess, worked Silence of the Lambs into what would have possibly been the fourth season of the show.
Okay.
But yeah, he's Thorin in those Hobbit movies, which I could not fucking tell you. I saw all three of them.
You only saw the first one.
No, I saw all three of those movies.
Really?
Not all in theaters. Oh, the first one I saw in theaters was the thing where I was embarrassed for other people online.
Yes.
It was a midnight show, and I went only because there was Trek footage.
Yes, yeah.
And there were people like dressed up all around me, like, quote unquote, speaking in Elvish.
But it was because you wanted to see the Star Trek footage that you also went to go see it in high frame rate.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Apparently, this dude's also in Captain America the First Avenger playing Heinz Kruger.
I don't know.
Another character I do not remember. Anyway, yeah, I thought that dude was totally fine.
He's fine. Yeah.
He's just some man meat that they fuck over.
He's not bad. I just, in case, because I know there are Hobbit fans. I'm not one, but
yeah, they're out there. They're out there.
Not.
But that, I guess, is a character that's just in the Hobbit movies and not in any LOTR proper. We were talking about James Corden.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's like investigating like what the deal is, and the whole thing is like they're doing these like throughout the movie, it's like rule number 7, blah blah blah. Rule number 2, blah blah blah.
Similar to the original, at least 11.
Yeah, I don't think they bring that back. At least not in 12. I haven't watched 13 in a while. Yeah. But so Sandy is like reminding them of all these rules. We think Kate Blanchett is like, hey, rule number whatever, no doing a job inside another job. And the whole thing is this dude wound up putting Debbie Ocean in jail by ratting her on this like art scam that they were doing.
Right.
He's like a downtown like Soho artist kind of a thing.
And so that sort of is the biggest sort of overlap between him and the Julia Roberts character. Not even just the art thing, but
she's
a curator
or an appraiser or something
like
that. Yeah.
But the scene where Cate Blanchett is calling Sandra Bullock up for why are you involving him in this is very similar to the scene in 11 when Brad Pitt does the same to George Clooney about Julia Roberts.
Right.
So there's some symmetry.
And then that also kind of flops back into 12 because then like Brad Pitt's character has the prior relationship with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
I'm fine with pretending that movie doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. You did an episode. You never have to watch it ever again.
Yes, that's true. So that's like James Corden thing, but that's what we're talking about, like the third act of the movie. Basically, right, yes. it turns into the James Corden investigation hour.
It does, and the biggest bummer of why you can feel it slowed down, I mean, one is James Corden, but two, you don't get the women together for the majority of the third act.
Right.
And then when you finally do, it picks back up again, but the movie lives and dies by how great your ensemble is. Why would you get rid of the ensemble and just do a couple of here and there scenes with maybe Sandra Bullock and James Corden at Junior's? And
Junior's in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Some good cheesecake.
There earlier is a scene at Veselka, which is one of Andrew's and my favorite restaurants in the East Village.
If you are ever in the East Village, gang, Veselka on 2nd Avenue. It's
the
Ukrainian.
The best pierogies. Ugh.
Oh, my God.
The potato pancakes.
It's fucking awesome.
Ugh, so good.
Yeah, but it's weird because there's even a scene where James Corden goes and talks to this Richard Armitage dude. And I'm like, none of the eight are in this scene. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Those are more stuff you could cut.
I'd take a fucking Matt Damon cameo over that nonsense.
Yeah, probably. Depends on what the cameo was. Who knows?
Also true. Yeah. So we mentioned all the cameos. Those are all the refs.
Right.
Those three things or whatever. The end of the movie is like, I found the last scene kind of weird.
Oh, I really liked it.
It's, I guess it's weird because I can't tell how much of a setup it is, / I was waiting for him to walk around a corner.
Oh, wait. So you mean the very, very last scene, her in the mausoleum, not them on the subway cutting to what they did with all their money?
No.
I see. I thought you meant that. Yeah. No, we can that I really, really, really liked.
All right. So we'll flip-flop it. We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay. First. But mine was first.
All right. So let's talk about your first. So like the... I will say, so yeah, the whole what they did with everything.
Right. It's the promotional image that they released first of them all riding the subway together. Right.
And it's very, a lot of this movie is stylistically indicative of the trilogy, which is
very,
nice. Again,
yes. Lots of the same music, lots of the same editing.
Yeah. Roping it into the OCU, everybody. I'm getting that going. But a lot of the same sort of transitions and everything. And a lot of
Kate Blanchett. That's another OCU MCU overlap. Continue.
Oh, right. Thor Ragnarok, of course.
Sorry.
No, I'm glad you snagged it.
I stopped a tweet. I don't know. It's been long enough. I probably didn't stop it. But
well,
now maybe they'll delete it. Yeah.
That's always the fucking greatest where it's like, oh, looks like I tweeted too early. So that's what you should do, gang. Take notes of your grievances and wait
save
till
them
end.
As drafts. Twitter lets you save drafts.
So what everybody does with everything. So now I'm going to try to remember everything.
Right.
Let's see if we can. I know.
Kate Blanchett buys a motorcycle and looks like she's driving around Monterey because it looked like the beginning of Big Little Lies. Maybe we'll get a Big Little Lies overlap into the OCU.
Shit.
I would love that.
Into the Little Liesiverse?
Oh, my God.
it's kind of like the most unclear, if only because they all got like $36
million. Well, but then
she goes
and she helps kill Nicole Kidman's husband, who's terrible, and she and Reese Witherspoon and Shailene Woodley all become friends. It's fine.
Oh, I see.
And Zoe Kravitz, yeah. so Awkwafina buys what looks like a Brooklyn or Long Island City kind of enormous condo studio sort of space, whatever. She's really funny.
Yes, and she appears to be doing one of those, like, she's making a living doing like Instagram
videos
or something. Which is pretty cool.
Rihanna has bought a bar named after herself.
Right, which is nice.
Like a pool hall.
Yeah, she goes by Nine Balls. So the lounge is like Niners or Nines or something.
Right. Anne Hathaway is directing. Because of course.
Did you notice the woman? So it's like you see her, she's like directing like a scene between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
I thought for a second there was a little CGI tomfoolery because the actress that's like she's directing in the scene, I thought was also Anne Hathaway for a second.
I don't think they would do that.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I did still have IMDb open from this, and one thing that we skipped as I'm going back to look to see who played her, which I couldn't find, though, is there is a great, speaking of how much work this movie gave to women, there's a great little featured sequence where you get that they've hired older women to help auction off the pieces that they've stolen. And you get Marlo Thomas, Dana Ivey, Mary Louise Wilson, and Elizabeth Ashley all in a movie in 2018. So it's great if that's a thing that you would care about.
One of them, not Marlo Thomas.
Dana
but
Ivey is from Adam's Family.
Adam's Family. Yeah, Marlo Thomas was
that girl. She's also in the Friends universe, like Elliot Gould. She's Rachel's mom.
That's right. Okay.
And Mary Louise Wilson, I mostly know as a theater actress. I know she's been in stuff. Apparently, she was in Pet Sematary. I don't know if she's the mom in that.
No, then, that's what's her face from Star Trek.
Then she's another person. And then Elizabeth Ashley was on Stagecoach.
Stagecoach. Yeah. She also,
she's probably been in other stuff. Please don't tweet. I don't care.
Is she a theater actress, though? Because this woman,
I think she's also from, yes, she's also in theater. I think she's also from Florida. So
she looked terribly familiar. Oh, she's in Happiness. Todd Haynes, Happiness. Or Todd Solondz, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah.
Happiness.
Yeah, she's a three-time Tony nominee. So she's also done a lot of theater, like Mary Louise Wilson.
She's also, how did we not get this? We both love this movie. She's also in The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
I do love that movie.
I fucking love that movie.
That's a great
movie. Charles Durning in that movie?
Yeah.
Ooh, he's so great.
Anyway, sorry. So yes. How they all spend their money. They cut to all of them spending their money. We're probably not going to remember the rest now.
No, I was just doing it as a challenge to us. We saw the movie less than 24 hours
That's
ago.
That's true. But,
I can't remember any of the rest of them. They all
Sarah Paulson is stealing more stuff, possibly buying some of it now and selling it.
It was a weird, like, is she opening like an overstock.com type of,
maybe, I don't know,
because it's like her, she's got like employees, she's wearing a hard hat, right. It's a warehouse,
like a tractor, no, what do you call this, forklift?
A forklift. Yeah. So she's doing that. We got Awkwafina, we got Sarah Paulson and Hathaway, Kate Blanchett. What is, so Sandy, we don't really see her.
Well, we cut to her at the thing that I cut you off from talking about, which we'll get back to.
Oh, also, well, Helen Bonham Carter opens like a store on Fifth Avenue.
Yes, yeah.
That's like her big achievement. Now I think we got everybody else.
Okay.
So Sandy's back at the mausoleum.
Right.
Nice, cool little thing. She opens up a bag and she's got a little martini glass and a mixer. She pours a little martini, puts a little olive in it. And what does she say to the, she's like, you would have been so proud, or you would have loved this, or something.
You would have
like
loved
that.
This, I think.
And then we just cut to black.
Yeah.
And like, I thought that was the
George
moment.
No George Clooney cameo.
You know, and when it cut to black, I was like, oh, well done.
Yeah.
Managed to keep him out.
Again, the thing said that he didn't want to because, one, he respected the movie, and two, he's a billionaire and doesn't need any more acting paychecks ever again.
Yeah, no, he was busy, you know, living a glorious life in Lake Como, the set of Ocean's 12, or at least part of it.
Yeah.
But no, when it hit black, I was like, well done. Like, you avoided, you had some, you know, weavings in of the other movies, but like,
it's almost standalone. I don't think you do need to see the original trilogy to
care about
it.
No, not in the slightest. Because, I mean, with, like, Yen, it doesn't matter.
Elliot Gould doesn't.
No, like, you know, if you haven't seen any of those movies, Elliot Gould could just pass as, like, you might confuse for, like, the father or something like that. I mean, I guess maybe you wouldn't understand who Danny Ocean is.
You might be confused, yeah.
I just don't know.
Maybe people will think it's a gravity spinoff because doesn't he die in that? And she survives. Maybe that's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He totally eats shit that movie. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he super dies in that movie. Yeah. She's like sees his ghost for a while. Or it's like a hallucination or some shit. I don't know.
I skipped it.
Yeah. Well, because you couldn't do like the 3D.
I get motion sickness. Yeah.
Did I ever tell you a story when I saw that movie?
Maybe.
In the theater, and
people will be listening. They might not know. It's not just you, me, and the dog.
It's that's what it feels like. It just feels like we're having a conversation.
And the dog's asleep.
Yeah, so. No, she's ignoring us. It's totally fine. Attention. Oh, now she's on the couch. Oh, there she is.
She's very cute.
No, I saw the movie. I somehow was able to finagle getting tickets to the premiere of the movie, like the New York premiere.
Oh, I do know this, and it's really funny. If you don't end up telling the story that I think you're going to tell. Oh, because it also in is relevant to Ocean's 8, so continue first with whatever you're saying.
Well, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's two stories roped into this. I got you.
I'll tell the second one then. Okay. You tell the first one.
No, so
I don't know why I'm telling it. It's not my story, but whatever.
I think the deal was a buddy of mine had tickets, and he was like, do you want to go see Gravity? I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. And it turned out to be the New York premiere of the movie, which was weird. I totally wasn't dressed for it. but we were sitting in front of Regis Philbin.
Oh. Right. Okay.
And so we're watching the movie, and like, I don't know if it was like the first 3D movie Regis Philbin had ever seen, or like,
it's like the train coming towards him the first time, and he doesn't
he
understand it.
Oh, he almost got killed. I think he was there for that premiere too, though.
Probably.
But so we got Regis, and so this movie's happening, and Gravity is a movie that's only worth watching if it's in 3D.
Sure.
And on a screen. It's a very immersive thing. Whatever, Neil deGrasse Tyson, I don't care how inaccurate it is. It was fun. But Regis, like, you're just watching this movie and all this harrowing shit has happened, and you just got like, wow! Whoa! Holy cow! He's like screaming in the fucking theater.
Yeah.
But then so coming out, there's another connective tissue here.
Andrew, through work, gets to see more celebrities, movie stars, people in entertainment than I do. And most often my question is, how tall are they? So one person that he came home from the premiere and he said that he saw was Katie Holmes.
And I wasn't making it up. She was actually there. I wasn't just saying it.
I believe you. And I love Dawson's Creek, so I was very excited. And where we're saying it's relevant to this is she does have one line in Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
She's a Met Gala attendee playing Katie Holmes,
right.
not playing anyone else. But so when you saw Gravity, you said that the story was that you were like, Chelsea's going to want to know how tall Katie Holmes is. Is she wearing heels? And that you went to check to see, because she was quite tall. Like, is this all shoes? Is she an actually tall woman? I don't know.
Right.
And that you checked, and she was wearing a little bit of a heel, but not much. So she's obviously tall-ish, but not, you know, whatever. But that she caught you doing that and thought you were checking her out and was like, this scumbag.
Yeah, she was like, look at this pig. Look at this pig looking at me.
And people, when I related that to people, they're like, Andrew was just checking out Katie Holmes. I'm like, then why would he tell me? No, this was the shoes. I believe you. Maybe I'm being naive, but
I mean,
believe
one
you.
Could argue that it was a two-for-one situation. But I know, I was like, she's going to want to know. I got to get to the bottom of this. So I got to look at her feet. What is she wearing?
Ew.
And it turns out she's not a giant woman. but no, she caught me. I got caught in a peek.
Yeah.
And it was a real get a good look Costanza situation. I felt embarrassed. And then we got off the elevator and she never spoke to me again.
Heartbreaking.
Escalator, excuse me.
And now she's with Jamie Foxx. She turned.
Can't even believe it.
It could have been you.
I can't even. I just missed it.
You could have been doing this with Katie Holmes. Been like, hey, how was your cameo in Ocean's 8?
I was just too dazzled by Regis.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't be?
So that's the movie. Sort of like leave the door open.
Yeah,
for
I
sequels.
Think
nobody's in jail. Or
I don't know how box office is looking so far. We're recording this Saturday night of opening weekend.
Yeah, I haven't been paying attention.
So I don't
just
know.
Yet.
But they're definitely leaving possibility.
And it's also like the kind of the real question, and it's a challenge for a sequel to get made if they do an Ocean's 10, because the only.
Nine.
Pardon me, nine, right. Yes. I'm getting
Counting.
Ahead of myself. I just really want that trilogy. I want them all to line up.
Yeah.
Because there's no real, and I guess this is sort of a weird part of the movie, there's no real antagonist here. There's no Andy Garcia character.
Yeah, you kind of have that in Anne Hathaway, but then she flips, so yeah.
But so then my cautious...
I guess James Corden?
That's the thing. Ooh.
I don't know.
Like,
I
let's
so.
Figure something out. Honestly, have her... Have Debbie and crew fuck over Andy Garcia again. I'll watch that.
Have Anna Wintour be like, you guys messed up my party. Anna Wintour is like, I'm going full in on acting now.
Because she has, she's
got
the cameo.
She is featured in this, which makes it a nice sort of weird alternate universe Devil Wears Prada sequel in its own way. I don't know. Connect the dots. It's there.
But it was weird, though. Didn't you think... Because they take so they show her when they cut to her office, it's like Sarah Paulson's got a job there, and she's from behind, and you see the famous
it's
like
very
bowl cut.
What's his name
Steinbrenner
Steinbrenner on Seinfeld. Feld.
There it is.
There it is.
And I was like, oh, fuck. Are we just not going to show her? Yeah. But then they like kind of turn.
She's all in the Met Gala scenes, though. She might have just not filmed the stuff.
No,
in
you
the
do.
Offices.
They do a cut. See her like from profile. She's got like two lines.
Oh, right.
Lines.
Now I remember that.
She does actually say it. And I was like, all right, good. Because that would have been really gimmicky.
It's a little silly.
And kind of stupid. But so that's the, I mean, you got to find somebody because I cannot suffer more James Corden.
I cannot handle any more James Corden in another. Yeah, no.
But so overall, you're satisfied? You
I
would
am.
Recommend this movie?
I would, yeah. I think if you're in the mood for a women-led summer blockbuster, it's going to be a little while before Mamma Mia, Here I Go Again opens. You know, if that's something you want, if you really like the Oceans trilogy, which I do, this is a fun time. Everyone in the theater when we went to go see it seemed to be having a really good time.
Hooting and hollering.
Lots of enthusiastic moviegoers. Yeah, absolutely. I would recommend it.
Also, if you're like way more up on like the fashion scene.
Yeah.
Because there were so many moments when they're showing like the gala, and I was like, all right, I see like Kim Kardashian in the B-roll, okay.
Right.
But there were so many people that even the two of us were like, huh?
Yeah.
But a lot of the people in the theater were like, ooh.
I think we were a little older than a lot of the people in the theater, and they seemed to know them. There was Gigi Hadid at one point, and I was like, I think that's a Hadid sister, but I don't know which one. Yeah, so if the Met Gala is a thing you're excited about during the year, then this is a fun caper take on it, you know.
Yeah, no, you know, it was just nice to have it in a thing that like wasn't a casino. It was a nice change.
And
to
I mean,
New
maybe
York.
People who really love Vegas and love casinos feel that way about 11. I guess. I mean, not that you or I are connected to the Met Gala even slightly.
No,
I watched half an hour of the red carpet this year, so that means I'm an expert. But we're at least, we live in the city where it happens, so we're the tiniest bit more connected, so that made it interesting to us. If you are a person who is even more connected to the Met Gala than proximity, then you will actually care about this movie.
I'll say, to add on to the, like, how much of a New York movie it is, it must have been a bitch to film in that museum.
Yeah.
And they actually
do
it.
I would really love to know more about, you know, some sort of director's commentary, because it is all in the Met. That must have been a lot of evenings.
Yeah, what's the time of day? Yeah. What are we doing?
It, I mean, they're not getting daylight. They're in the Egypt rooms and getting a lot of outside, and it's all nighttime. So I think that helps.
Because the Egyptian room, though, am I remembering
or not
this
the
wrong?
Egyptian
it's all
room.
Sun.
Right.
It's
right.
All
yeah. Whatever. Yeah, that room they're in for a lot of it. That's where the heist ends up, or not happening. It's where a lot of it
happening-ish.
Is. Happening-ish. It's all happening-ish in lots of places, and it's nighttime, so that helps.
Yeah,
it was probably 2 a.m. There's probably so many tired Met employees working there, being like, "Please don't actually steal anything. We're so tired."
A lot of frustrated security guards.
So tired.
But no, yeah, so as anyone who's fans of like on location shooting, this movie's got it all over the board. It was really impressive.
Very, very cool.
Especially filming in the world's greatest museum.
Yep.
Sorry, Louvre.
We haven't been there. I don't know.
No, the Met's the greatest. That's okay. No. So that concludes this Ocean's 8 on screen.
Yeah.
Recommendations from the Jupin family, at least. The dog was fine with us going to see it because she got to nap at home.
And she got to nap while we recorded about it, too. She sleeps a lot.
She does sleep a lot. Oh, yeah. Man, the life of a dog.
16 hours a day, I think, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
And I'm Chelsea.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.